जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी। जय गिरिवर धारी यशोदनन्दन व्रजन रञ्जन यशोदनन्दन व्रजन रञ्जन यमुना तीरावन चारी। माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय विश्वपाद परमहंस परिवादाचार्य अष्टोत्तर कृष्णकृपा मूर्ति वैचन विदान्त स्वामी शील प्रभुपाद की राजकंस श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। गोभिमनंदे ओम ज्ञानम तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितेन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वप्नदान्तिकं वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभक्ष कृपासिन्धुवे एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 Chapter 24, entitled The Subterranean Heavenly Planets, and the text number 21. I'll be trying to cover text 21 to 26. Tad bhaktanam atmavatam sarvesham atmanya atmada atmaitveiva. Translation: The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart as the Super Soul, sells himself to his devotees such as Narad Muni. In other words, the Lord gives pure love to such devotees and gives himself to those who love him purely. Great self-realized mystic yogis such as the four Kumaras also derive great transcendental bliss from realizing the super soul within themselves. Purport: The Lord became Bali Maharaj doorkeeper not because of his giving everything to the Lord, but because of his exalted position as a lover of the Lord. Text 22. The Supreme Personality of Godhead did not award his mercy to Bali Maharaj by giving him material happiness and opulences. For this make one forget loving service to the Lord. The result of material opulence is that one can no longer absorb his mind in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport: There are two kinds of opulence. One which results from one karma is material, whereas the other is spiritual. A surrendered soul who fully depends upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not want material opulence for sense gratification. Therefore, when a pure devotee is seen to possess exalted material opulence, it is not due to his karma. Rather, it is due to his bhakti. In other words, he is in that position because the Supreme Lord wants him to execute service to him very easily and opulently. The special mercy of the Lord for the neophyte devotee is that he becomes materially poor. This is the Lord's mercy, because if a neophyte devotee becomes materially opulent, he forgets the service of the Lord. However, if an advanced devotee is favored by the Lord with opulence, it is not material opulence, but a spiritual opportunity. Material opulence offered to the demigod causes forgetfulness of the Lord, but opulence was given to Bali Maharaj for continuing service to the Lord, which was free from any touch of Maya. Text 23. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead could see no other means of taking everything away from Bali Maharaj, he adopted the trick of begging from him and took away all the three worlds. Thus only his body was left, but the Lord was still not satisfied. He arrested Bali Maharaj, bound him with the ropes of Varuna, and threw him in a cave in a mountain. Nevertheless, although all his property was taken and he was thrown into a cave, Bali Maharaj was such a great devotee that he spoke as follows. Text 24. Alas, how pitiable it is for Indra, the king of heaven, that although he is very learned and powerful, and although he chose Brihaspati as his prime minister to instruct him, he is completely ignorant concerning spiritual advancement. Brihaspati is also unintelligent because he did not properly instruct his disciple Indra. Lord Vamandev was standing at Indra's door, but King Indra, instead of begging him for an opportunity to render transcendental loving service, engaged him in asking me for alms to gain the three worlds for sense gratification. For his sense gratification. Sovereignty over the three worlds is very insignificant because whatever material opulence one may possess lasts only for an age of Manu, which is but a tiny fraction of endless time. Purport. Bali Maharaj was so powerful that he fought with Indra and took possession of three worlds. Indra was certainly very advanced in knowledge, but instead of asking Vamandev for engagement in his service, he used the Lord to beg for material possessions. That would be finished at the end of one age of Manu. An age of Manu, which is the duration of Manu's life, is calculated to last 72 yugas. One yuga consists of 4,300,000 years, and therefore the duration of Manu's life is 309,600,000 years. The demigod possessed their material opulence only until the end of the life of Manu. Time is insurmountable. The time one is allotted, even if it be millions of years, is quickly gone. The demigods own their material possessions only within the limits of time. Therefore, Bali Maharaj lamented that although Indra was very learned, he did not know how to use his intelligence properly. For instead of asking Vamandev to allow him to engage in his service, Indra used him to beg Bali Maharaj for material wealth. Although Indra was learned and his prime minister Brihaspati was also learned, neither of them begged to be able to render loving service to Vamandev. Therefore, Bali Maharaj lamented for Indra. Text 25. Bali Maharaj said, My grandfather Prahlad Maharaj is only person who understood his own self-interest. Upon the death of Prahlad's father, Hiranyakashipu, Lord Narsingdev wanted to offer Prahlad his father's kingdom and even wanted to grant him liberation from material bondage. But Prahlad accepted neither liberation and material opulence. He thought are obstacles to devotional service, and therefore such gifts from the Supreme Personality of Godhead are not his actual mercy. Consequently, instead of accepting the results of karma and jnana, Prahlad Maharaj simply begged the Lord for engagement in the service of his servant. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed that an unalloyed devotee should consider himself a servant of the servant of the servant of the Supreme Lord, Gopi Bharatu Pad Kamalayur Das Dasanudas. In Vaishnava philosophy, one should not even become a direct servant. Prahlad Maharaj was offered all the blessings of opulent position in the material world, and even the liberation of merging into Brahman, but he refused all this. He simply wanted to engage in the service of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Therefore, Bali Maharaj said that because his grandfather Prahlad Maharaj had rejected the blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in terms of material opulence and liberation from material bondage, he truly understood his self-interest. Last verse, translation. Bali Maharaj said, "Person like us who are still attached to material enjoyment, who are contaminated by the modes of material nature, and who lack the mercy of Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot follow the supreme path of Prahlad Maharaj, the exalted devotee of the Lord." Purport. It is said that for spiritual realization, one must follow great personalities like Lord Brahma, Devarshi Narad, Lord Shiva and Prahlad Maharaj. The path of bhakti is not at all difficult if we follow in the footsteps of previous acharyas and authorities. But those who are too materially contaminated by the modes of material nature cannot follow them. Although Baldi Maharaj was actually following the path of his grandfather, because of his great humility, he thought that he was not. It is characteristic of advanced Vaishnav following the principle of bhakti that they think themselves ordinary human beings. This is not an artificial exhibition of humility. A Vaishnav sincerely thinks this way and therefore never admits an exalted position. Srila Prabhupada ki. Krishna is maintaining all the living entities from eternal time in their condition and liberated state. Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam. He is not partial to anyone. In fact, he is a well-wishing friend of everyone. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sammoham Sarva Bhuteshu, that he is equal to everyone, but at the same time, he is more inclined toward his devotees. He is ready to give himself to the devotees or person whose only business is to love him and serve him sincerely. And this cannot be called as a discrimination. For example, there is an analogy of a charitable person who is giving charity to everyone, but when it comes to his own children, he is taking special care of his own children. So this is how we work with the devotees and Krishna. There is an intimate relationship between the Krishna and his devotees. Sadhavo hridayam mayam sadhunam hridayam tu aham mad anyat tena janapi naham tebhyo managapi. That my devotees are always in my heart and I always stay in my devotee's heart. And my devotee does not know anything superior to me, and I do not know anything beyond my devotees. So this is a relationship between the devotees and Krishna. And those who are the devotees, they are always under the protection of the divine nature of Krishna. They are always protected by the internal energy of Krishna. And they are called Mahatmanas. Mahatmanas to mam partha devim prakati ashrita. Means those who are rendering devotional service to the Krishna, their sole purpose is only to serve Krishna. They got only one goal or one aim in their life. They have no other goal. And therefore, they are always meditating that how and what should they do to increase the service attitude toward Krishna. And internally, they are always dissatisfied with the service and they are trying to increase the service attitude more and more toward the spiritual master. And that is a quality of Mahatma, that they are always looking forward to new and new ways that how they can increase the service attitude. Bali Maharaj decided to become doorkeeper at Lord Vamandev decided to become a doorkeeper at Bali Maharaj's house. The reason given over here is not because Bali Maharaj has given everything to Krishna. It was not a reason, because Everything belongs to Krishna. Krishna is the proprietor of everything. Nothing. So there is nothing like that. We have to give everything to Krishna. There is no question of them. But reason he became the doorkeeper of Bali Maharaj is because of his strong dedication and service attitude. We have seen that karmis are working really hard to accumulate the money and accumulate the wealth for the future generation. They believe that making elaborate plans for the future, but they don't know even for their own future what is going to be their next life. And there is a beautiful story given in the Nectar of Instruction that one of the karmi was working very hard to earn the riches, and he built a big house for his grandsons, and he died, and because of his karma he took a birth near the cobbler house. There was a cobbler house near the house. He took the birth, and so one day what happened that he went to his own house in the form of cobbler. So his grandson beat him with the shoes. So that is the destination of karmi. They're trying to plan for the future, but they're not thinking about the present situation. Shukracharya told Bali Maharaj that this person in the form of a draft Brahman is a Vaman Dev. He's a Lord himself. And he's cheating you. He's coming over here to take everything from you. So just tell him that you're not promised anything. And just tell him that you're not promised anything and you don't know what you're doing. So just tell him that no, I don't want to give 3 pieces of land. But Bali Maharaj's surrenderance was very exceptional. Bali Maharaj was knowing the science of Krishna consciousness. And he learned this science from his great-grandfather Prahlad Maharaj. He knows that Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Shmaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, and the last one is Atma Nivedanam. He knows that the quality of Atma Nivedanam is that to do what is favorable for our devotional service, to reject what is not favorable for the devotional service, to understand that Krishna is only our protector, to understand Krishna is only our maintainer, to be very humble, humility, and last is dedicating oneself. He was knowing this science, and therefore he rejected to apply the instruction or to follow the instruction of his spiritual master. Generally it is an offense to not follow the instruction of the spiritual master. It's generally the third offense to disobey the order of spiritual master. But Bali Maharaj is a Mahajan, and he proved that if the instruction of spiritual master is not complying with the Shastra, then we can reject our spiritual master. That means complying with the Shastra means, what is the conclusion of Shastra? Sarva dharma parityaja mama iksharam raja, surrender to me and Ishvara parama Krishna. So if these two things are not coming, then there is a question for spiritual master. And this we have to follow it, because Bali Maharaj was a Mahajan. Mahajana se katha pantho means there are different Mahajan, and among all the 11 Mahajan, Bali Maharaj was one of the Mahajan. Now Krishna is ready to sell himself to anyone who is not an offender. Who is not an offender. Prabhupada once disclosed the success of the Krishna, Hare Krishna movement in West. Because in West, he told that young people are not offending the holy name. When they are asked to chant the holy name, they just chant it. There is no question of mind. They chant it with the tongue and hear with the ears. And so there was no question of offending. But when they tried to apply the same instruction in India, the Indian people were having little bit knowledge of, maybe superficial knowledge of Vedic literature, maybe superficial. So they were trying to question Prabhupada. Then why? And Prabhupada told them, just chant Hare Krishna. So they were questioning, oh no, we are doing so many rituals, our daily pujas and daily sadhana. Why? How can we change it? And so they cannot apply the same instruction. And this was the success of Hare Krishna movement in the West. So we can take the example of four Kumara. That Tasya Arvinda Nayanasya Padaravinde, what is that? Kinjala Mishra, Kinjala Tulsi Mishra Makaranda Vayu. Then Antara Gata Swavirena Chakra Tesham Sankshobam Akshara Jusha Apichitta Tanavo. That when the breeze carrying the aroma of Tulsi and Saffron from the lotus feet of Krishna, when entered through nostril into the heart of those Kumaras, they experience a sudden change in the body and mind, even though they were experiencing the bliss of Brahman realization. They were impersonalist, but just by smelling the tulsi and saffron, they become devotees of Krishna. So Krishna took all the opulences from Bali Maharaj, and this was a special favor from Krishna towards Bali Maharaj, because Krishna said that yasyaham anugrahanami harasya tad dhanam shani tato adhanam tajante asyat swajano dukha dukhitam. That when I show a special favor, when I'm specifically inclined to a person, I gradually take away everything from him, and being deprived of his riches and wealth, his relative abandons him, his friends abandon him, so he become bereft of all his friendship and relative, and as a result he suffer one misery, one distress after other, and then he come to Krishna. So when the Lord gives suffering to the devotee is a genuine, when the Lord gives suffering to the devotee is a genuine expression of love, it is out of compassion. Prabhupada gave the analogy of stinging ointment, that when the person's eyes is infected, a physician prescribes an ointment, and when he applies the ointment, initial feeling it's very painful, but ultimately it gives pleasure. Similarly, when the suffering comes in the life of devotee, they doesn't consider suffering as a trouble, but they consider as an opportunity, because in that opportunity it helps them to increase their intensity and eagerness to pray to Krishna. Tattenu kampam sumakshikshamano bhujanjane evatma kritam vipakam. Then ridavag vipovi vidadan namaste jiveti mukti padesa daya bhag. That person who is suffering the reaction of his past sinful deeds and is constantly awaiting, earnestly waiting for the causeless mercy of Krishna to be bestowed upon him, and during that time he offered the obeisances from the core of his heart, body and words, is surely eligible to liberation, because it has become his rightful claim. So this is a wonderful opportunity for the devotees to pray when they are in difficulty for the Krishna. So it is not that Lord is only strict to the neophyte devotees because he wants to make them advance. It is not like that. But Lord is merciful to both the devotees. He is strict to both his devotees, to the both qualified as well as the new devotees. For example, after the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Bhishma was totally shocked, and he was asking that why this reverses has happened to Pandavas in the presence of Yudhishthira, who was the son of the demigod of religion, in the presence of Bhima, who was the fighter with the club, and Arjuna with the Gandiv, and above all Lord Krishna was there in the favor of Pandavas, who was a great well-wisher of everyone. And he says that, oh, no one can know the plan of Krishna. Similarly, Queen Kunti, right from the beginning, the kingdom was usurped. His son Bhima was poisoned. Her son Bhima was poisoned. Their houses were burned. Draupadi was stripped naked. The Pandavas were drawn to exile. So there were so many calamities in the life of Kunti. But Kunti never said that, oh no, this calamity should never come. In fact, she was praying that this calamity should come again and again. These problems should come again and again. Because by this problem, we can see you again and again. Vipada tantu shashaswat tatra tatra jagat guru. We can see you again and again. And by seeing you again and again, means there is no repetition of birth and death. So Vamandev asked three paces of land from Bali Maharaj. The reason he asked 3 paces of land, because he indirectly want to show Bali Maharaj that everything belongs to Krishna and he is a proprietor of everything. So nobody has right to take forcefully apart from what is required. Everyone has his quota, and Bali Maharaj was not following this Isa Vashya principle. So Krishna indirectly took everything by begging 3 paces of land. Because ultimately beneficiary is Krishna, Bhuktaram Yagatapsam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. So by encroaching the other one's property is just like stealing or theft. Now the karmis, they work really hard to achieve something in the life. But devotee, simply they depend on the mercy of Krishna. And only reason they depend on the mercy of Krishna, because they have full faith in the words of Krishna, that ananachintayanto mam is a very powerful verse. ye jana parupashate tesha mrityape, that if you carry the devotion with the, if you carry the devotion exclusively remembering me, I carry what you lack and I preserve what you have. No one is giving you such guarantee. So they believe this word. So they know that their only duty is to serve Krishna faithfully. They know that Krishna is taking care of them. But on the other hand, materialists have their own plans. They don't believe in the word of Bhagavad Gita. So they try planning their own way. And they are always in the worry of, they are always in the fear of unemployment, paying the bills, or government change or economic problems. But devotee doesn't have such problem. Devotee only one problem. Oh, there's a time to wash the plates now. Krishna is hungry. Krishna, let me get a transfer plates. So this is the life of devotee. They are not involved in all this government change or economic problems. Sometimes we see that a pure devotee who is engaged in a service of Lord is very opulent. So we should not consider that, we should not discriminate those devotees, that why this devotee is very opulent. I am also engaged in a service of Krishna. I am also providing cups, water cups to Krishna, but this devotee is very opulent and why I am not opulent. This is not to be discriminated, because Krishna has given this opulence to the particular devotee because he wants that devotee. He knows that the devotee is matured and he will use his opulence in the service of Krishna. So he has provided this opulence. For example, Amrish Maharaj. We heard Amrish Maharaj in Bhagavatam. He was very rich. He was very opulent. He was the king of whole universe, in fact. But his only duty was Savai Mana Krishna Padarvindo Pachasvi Vaikunta Gunanu Vanade Karo Hare Mandira Marjana Dishu Shutim Chakra Sutya Satak Kutadya. That is always, what he's doing? Savai Mana Krishna Padarvindo. He's always using his mana, mind, and remembering Krishna Padarvindo, lotus feet of Krishna. Vachasmi Vaikunta, he always using his words in glorifying Krishna. Karo Hare Mandira Marjana Dishu. He's always sweeping, he's always cleaning the temple of Lord. Though he was a king of entire universe, but he never considered himself king. He was sweeping the temple of Lord. And Shrutim Chakra Chutya means it was hearing, his ears are being used to hear the glorification of Lord. There is a big prayer of Amrish Maharaj. Similarly, we see in our material life also, Alfred Fraud, His Grace Amrish Prabhu. He is the owner of the Ford company. But Krishna has given him the opulence and he is using this opulence to build the temple, Vedic Planetary in Mayapur. He is using the opulence to build different institutions in different parts of the country. Similarly, we have George Harrison. He used the opulence for the Krishna consciousness. He gave the donation to print Krishna books. So we should not discriminate why this guy is poor, why this devotee is not poor. But the special mercy of Krishna is that one, he makes person akinchana gochara. Janma Aishwarya Shruta Shrabi, E Dhamana Madapuvan. Means Janma, birth, Aishwarya, opulence, Shruta, education, Shrabi, beauty, E Dhamana. It makes one, E Dhamana Madapuvan. It makes one intoxicated. So, what is the quality? Na eva arthati abhidhatum vai. They cannot approach Krishna with a special feeling. Those who are, it is in India, the people who are rich, they can easily worship people. There is a different situation in India. The people who are rich, they worship Krishna like, or the Krishna, they worship God like anything. But when things start getting opposite, they start forgetting Krishna and they start having their own plans. They figure out what to do now, what to do. But the special mercy of Krishna is he makes him a particular person akinchana gochara, that is totally materially distressed. He take all everything and akinchana gochara, and once he became akinchana gochara, it is very easy to approach Krishna. Since one who is involved in the riches, one who is involved in collecting more and more money, he cannot able to concentrate, he cannot able to fix his mind on Krishna. So Krishna forcefully take away everything. For example, Bali Maharaj has conquered almost entire universe. But Krishna wants to take away his attachment. So he want to taste whether he can able to sacrifice opulence or not. Because it is very difficult to willfully give everything, that Krishna, this is for you and everything belongs to you. So Krishna has tasted him by asking the 3 paces of land. Because one who willfully give everything to Krishna, he get a special attention from Krishna. Krishna get bound, he become indebted to his love. And Krishna always look forward the opportunity to serving that devotee. But devotee is never accepting any kind of service. He never accepts any kind of service. But Krishna is looking forward to serve him again and again, to express his love, reciprocation. But devotee, understanding that reciprocation, he feels more humble and more obliged to render service. And this is called empowerment. Moment we give something for the Krishna, the empowerment will come. Even significant thing, even insignificant you think for the Krishna, that you will feel that empowerment. And the empowerment is very powerful. For example, Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj, he gone to forest, Madhuvan, to ask for the wealth, for the kingdom. But he, within 5 months, he obtained Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu was standing in front of him. He said, Swami, Krito Asmin Varam Nayache, I don't want anything. I don't want anything. And this is a condition of devotee. They come due to some reason, but gradually when they start doing the things, they got some taste, and then their only sole purpose is to serve Krishna, nothing else. Lord Vamandev covered entire universe within the 3 steps. In the first step, he covered Bhurloka. With his body, he covered sky and all direction. And in the second step, in the second step, he covered upper planetary system. So there was no chance of third step. So he accused Bali Maharaj that you are not able to maintain your promise now. Where should I keep the third step? So Garuda, the carrier of Krishna, he bound Bali Maharaj with the ropes of Varuna. And when he was bound, the king was bound, he was taken his riches, he was taken his wealth, and then he was bound by the ropes of Varuna. And so at that time, the whole luster, his bodily luster was misfaded. He was totally in the depressed condition, but still he was fixed in determination. And he was dragged to hellish planet. Krishna dragged him to hellish planet because he cannot maintain his promise. So even though he has sacrificed everything, Krishna was again and again tasting him. This was the situation of king. Imagine if the situation come in our life. We are not even a king, we are devotees. But if someone said, Prabhu, do this way or this way, we suddenly get offended. And our face start fading away that, oh, why he is telling me? He was a king. He was a king of whole universe. And Krishna has bound with the ropes. He dragged him to hellish planet, but still he was fixed in determination. So this is the way devotees should understand that whatever things come in their life, it comes with the mercy of Krishna, and he should take the opportunity to be more fixed in the determination. Ups and downs will come, definitely. And we will never get anything. Everything will not be a sweet day for us. But every day is a day of exam, test for us. New and new thing comes in our life. And we learn new and new thing from our new and new experience. And at the end of the day, when we meditate what we have learned, we become more and more humble that, okay, this was the situation. How you handle it? This was the situation. How I handle it? This was the situation. How? And this is the way. Because our mind, in fact, the natural propensity is to, boom, give it back. But when we try to meditate, we understand that, okay, what is coming? How we have taken it? And that is how we improve ourselves. Bhagavatam says that Bali Maharaj was dragged to hellish planet because of the 2 reasons. Because Lord Vamandev wanted to show his tolerance, at how tolerant the king was. And second thing, he wants Bali Maharaj to maintain the curse given by his spiritual master, Shukracharya. Shukracharya cursed Bali Maharaj that because he has not maintained his promise, because Shukracharya told that you should do this, and he has disobeyed the instruction. So because he has not maintained his instruction, he will be going to hellish planet. So Krishna wants him to maintain the promise of his spiritual master. But Bali Maharaj has accepted very easily to go to the hellish planet, because for devotee, hell and heaven both are same. Narayana para sarve na kuthaschana bibhiyati swarga apavarga narkasya apitulya darshina. For devotee, hell, heaven or liberation, apavarga, is just like a apitulya, nothing. It's a paltry, small thing. They can go anywhere. It is very significant. It's same for everyone. If you got an opportunity to serve to Krishna. And Bali Maharaj at the same time was expressing the lamentation from Indra. That Indra was so powerful, Indra was so learned, but he has no any information, or he's ignorant about the spiritual advancement. In fact, he was condemning his spiritual master also, Brahaspati. That Brahaspati was also not intelligent, that he cannot give the proper instruction to his disciple. That instead of asking to render the transcendental service to Krishna, He was asking for insignificant sense gratificatory things. From this we can understand that this process of sense gratification is so strong that by the presence of material opulence and wealth, one becomes totally intoxicated and he doesn't know what he is doing. For example, Indradev, he is being a humble example. He doesn't like this thing to do, but he is being a humble example to show that what happens when the wealth comes. For example, once Naraka, the demon Naraka, he stole the playground of demigod. So Indra went to Dwarka to ask Krishna that, Krishna, can you please help us for this thing? And he begged Krishna, and Krishna fought with Naraka and brought back the earrings of Aditi and playground. But after that, he offered the obeisances to Krishna. Indra has offered the obeisances to Krishna, that thank you very much Krishna, I am very much obliged to you. And then what Krishna has done? To please his wife Satyabhama, he uprooted the Parijata flower tree, the whole tree of Parijata from his garden. And Indra doesn't like that. So after the fulfillment of his mission, once he has got everything what he want, he chose to fight with Krishna. And Prabhupada writes in Bhagavatam that how ignorant the demigod life is, and go hell with the demigod life. This is a sentence written in Bhagavatam. Prahlad Maharaj, although he was born in the demon family, he was knowing his self-interest. Lord Narsingdev was ready to offer all the liberation, all the boons. In fact, he was offering the liberation to Prahlad Maharaj. But Prahlad Maharaj did not accept this kind of boon. But he begged, in fact, that he should become servant of the servant. He told that, Na eva udviga paradurataya vaitrani tvad virya gayena maha amrita magna chitta shoke tato vimukha chetasa indriya arthe maya shukham bharam udvahato vimuddham. That, my lord, I am not afraid to live in this material existence, which is just like a Vaitrani river, which is very difficult to cross, because magna chitta, my consciousness is absorbed in what? Through the virya gayana, in glorifying your pastime, and which is like a nectarian spiritual bliss. Shoke tato vimukha chetasa, but I am expressing the lamentation for these fools and rascal who, for the indriya sukha, for the sense gratificatory process, they are making elaborate plans, udvahato, they are making elaborate plans for the false material happiness. And they are in bharam, they are in the false consciousness that they are maintaining the family, they are maintaining the wife, they are maintaining the society. They are in the false consciousness. So Narsingdev was expressing a real lamentation for these rascals and fools. Bali Maharaj was following the footsteps of his great grandfather Prahlad Maharaj, but out of great humility he was thinking that he was not following the footstep. This is a quality of Vaishnav, that Vaishnav is humble, at the same time is fixed in determination. The quality of Vaishnav, that he only accepts the service under the guidance of his spiritual master, and whatever success come consequently eventually goes to the spiritual master. He is not ready to accept anything. His only mission is to serve faithfully under the guidance of the spiritual master. And whatever credit comes, it goes to the spiritual master. It's very simple. And by the way, we will be free from the Saropadi Vinirmuktam. We will be free from all designation. We will be enjoying and dancing. Bali Maharaj was humble, but compared to Bali Maharaj, his wife was more humble. Because she told Krishna that my husband is shameless demon, was trying to encroach the property of Lord. And in fact, she accused Bali Maharaj that Bali Maharaj was trying to give the three steps, but he could not maintain his promise. So he was giving his body. But she was telling that he was ignorant, he was foolish, being a demon, he was not intelligent, that he does not know that body belongs to Krishna. And to protect him from the defame, he was trying to give charity as body, as offering to Krishna. But even body doesn't belong to him. So she was trying to prove that how shameless demon was husband was, even though he was a great humble. And therefore she was asking for the causeless mercy of Krishna, that please release my husband. They are demon, they does not know anything, so only mercy you can give to us is release him, just release him. I was asking about the humility to Jai Jagannath Prabhu, and he told me that humility is stay what you are because everybody has taken it. And I didn't get, you got it? Stay what you are because, that was the thing, right? Stay what you are because everybody has taken it. Everyone has taken it. So that means there is no reason of being duplicitous. Just stay what you are. And I told her, this is really transcendental. So conclusion is that because of the uncontrolled senses, the people are too much addicted in maintaining their family, in maintaining their riches. But they are unaware of death. They are not scared of impending death. Death can come any time. And we don't know how much time is left. It could be 7 days or 7 hours or 7 seconds. So what is the wisdom? To take Krishna consciousness seriously. To train ourselves in using our time and energy in remembering Krishna. Because if we are not training ourselves at this time, it will be very difficult for us to remember Krishna at the time of death. We have heard this many times, but this is the real purpose we are staying in ashram, is to train ourselves to remember Krishna every time, every second. The person doesn't become poor by the loss of the material wealth. People think that I become poor because I lost material thing. No, he doesn't become poor by the loss of material wealth. But certainly and definitely he will become poor if he lost the knowledge of self-realization. Self-realization, that is ultimately his whole body, his whole existence is to serve Krishna. And if he serve Krishna, Krishna will automatically take care of his needs. And it is a very scientific process. People believe that Krishna consciousness is not science, it's mythology. No, it's a science. It's a science of Krishna. It's a science of devotion. So there is one sentence in Bhagavad Gita, I remember, that everyone should be a scientist and should do research in the process of Krishna consciousness. So people believe the PhD are the strong people, we are doctorate. But real doctorate is in Krishna consciousness, to understand the Krishna consciousness philosophy. Not sitting in the office and operating the computer and doing the research work. That is a paltry research. So devotee should be prepared to risk everything for the service of Krishna. Because by risking this way, he will be always protected. He will never be defeated. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tat pravatina nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevana bhakti uchate. Means that real devotion is to serve, to include, to use all your senses in the service of Rishikena, who is a master of all senses. And when the spirit soul is rendering service to Krishna, there are two side effects. Side effect. The first one is sarvopadi vinirmuktam. If we become free from all material designation. And second is tat parvartena nirmalam, that his senses get purified because he is directly engaged in a service of Lord. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Are there pure devotees that would eternally serve in the hellish planets eternally to please the spiritual master or Krishna?
Are there any pure devotees who are eternally serving Krishna in the hellish planet? Jai Jagannath Prabhu often shared this thing, that previously when he joined the ashram, it's for all of us, that previously when we're a neophyte, we don't know. In fact, I am also a neophyte, but as for the experience comes, the person understands what is hellish planet. It will come eventually in the 5th canto, last chapter, hellish planet. And believe me, it's so scary. It's so scary that even if you read, you must have read that chapter, right? That you must have read the chapter of hellish planet, right? You can be thrown into the boiling pot of water, live. You can be crushed into the sugarcane juice maker, live. You can be thrown into the water of Vaitrani River, resembled to Vaitrani River, just full of stool, urine, pus, blood, and the insect might eat you. You don't have anything to eat. You have to stay in the middle of that ocean. And what you eat, when you are hungry, stool and urine and pus and blood. You can be thrown down from the trees which have got so many thorns, silkworm trees, and it has big thorns, and you are torn down in such a way that your body get crushed out. So to go to hellish planet to serve Krishna, are you really willing? No, we are not willing. But it comes with the advancement. Gopis were willing to go. That advancement is not possible at this stage. So the first thing we have to do is that we have to chant regularly for 16 rounds, follow four regulative principles, and not create any offense. If we do this thing regularly, this Vaidhi Bhakti, ultimately we will be guided by our spiritual master internally. Yastadeva para bhakti yathadeva tatha guru. Internally the guidance will come, and ultimately we will be at that level that we will be ready to go to the hell to Krishna. But right now I am not ready to go to hell. I am ready to follow four regulative principles sincerely. Not even sincerely, I am trying to do that. But our spiritual master are at that level. They are at that level. Nikunja yuno rati kele siddhe. Their only duty is to arrange the lovable pastime of Radha and Krishna. They know other work. So for their loving arrangement, they can do anything. So what we have to do? Mahagajana yegata sapantho. Swayambhu nara shambhu. Prahlad janak bhishmo. Kaumar kapila manu. Bali vavyasik vayam. And our Guru, Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Maharaj. We have to follow them. And by following them, we be at that level that we can sometime go out of the temple and preach outside. So this is the situation. Have I gave you answer, Prabhu? Thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. This is a personal question. You are a book distributor, and I noticed when you go out, you have all this energy to spread the word of Krishna consciousness. Personally, for you, how do you endure and deal with the different modes when you're dealing with let's say different energies? When you're always, battling people and their modes, and how do you stay motivated while you're doing your service?
So your question is that how I maintain my mood while I go outside?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, Prabhu, previously when I started the book distribution, I was not having any conception what I was doing. Till now, I'm not having any conception what I'm doing. But this pleases my spiritual master. This pleases my spiritual master. He told that if you do this, it will make me happy. Yasya prashada bhagavat prashado, yasya aprashada na gati kutopi. So I don't have any conception what I'm doing. I'm doing, the translation of this verse is, if you please your spiritual master, one receives the benediction of Krishna. The spiritual master is not pleased, you will never attain anything in the life. So our aim at this point, we have to just follow blindly, Prabhu. Everything is given easily. It's very simple. That try to please spiritual master, follow regulative principle and chant sincerely. And that's what we are trying to do. Even if you're not at that level, this is what I'm trying to do. And not creating offenses. When we are trying to do this thing with our sincere effort, the Vaishnavas, we are not chanting by our way. It's a blessing of the Vaishnava. When you chant, you're not chanting by your way. It's just because of the blessing of Vaishnava is sitting near to you, or they are sitting in the round of temple, the mercy is coming there. So we are carrying that mercy outside, that blessings. And that blessings are so powerful. They are so powerful that even we are alone, it's very difficult to get outside, when talking with the different people in a different environment, a different situation. People might shout at you, but it's least concern, because that empowerment is very powerful. You got a blessing from Vaishnava. And as a result, you can endure that thing. And when something happened to you, when you go out, just think that this is temporary. You have to go back to temple and you have to dance. It will make you easy. It will make the process easier. But ultimately the empowerment comes when you do these things. Have I gave you answer?
You mentioned that sometimes Krishna takes away everything and a devotee becomes akinchana gochara.
Mm-hmm.
So is it that until Krishna removes everything, then we become a kinchana gochara, or how do we become materially exhausted without waiting for Krishna to
I didn't get your question.
How can we become a Kinchana Gochara without waiting for Krishna to remove, to take away everything?
How we can become a Kinchana Gochara, then what is it? What? It's very easy if you follow. It's very easily given that Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasada. You got a spiritual master. What your spiritual master likes, do that. Because we don't have vision. We don't have vision to see anything beyond this wall. How can we see Krishna? So spiritual master knows everything. He knows how to serve Krishna and Radha best way. So by following the spiritual master, that is the first way. We don't have to be a Kinchana Gochara. We can be a stead position, and by following the instruction of spiritual master, we will be guided. But if we tried our own plans, then Krishna knows that what is our weakness. If we are too much attached to the material wealth, or if we are too much attached to atyara, we have got atyara for a particular thing, Krishna knows that particular weakness. And Krishna, as a mercy of compassion and love, will take away. Because Krishna doesn't have any work. His only work is to get us back home, back to Godhead. Because he's very compassionate. He knows that my children are suffering from time immemorial. So his only work... See, when I joined Krishna consciousness, I have got lots of economic problem. And I started book distribution because I was having so much of economic problem. Still now I have an economic problem. But Krishna knows that how to engage him in his service. So he gave me particular service. And that way, I am guided by that way. So we don't know how the mercy is coming. We don't know how everything is coming. But the two ways is that first you try to connect yourself with the teachings of your spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada. And second thing is that solely depend on Krishna. Because Krishna, whatever Krishna is arranging from you is good for you. He has seen something good, that this is good for this particular candidate, and accept that thing. Am I answering your question? Because my particular reason, I'm going a little bit away from the answer. Am I answering your question? Yeah, sure, Prabhu. Please.
Deprivation is an eternal principle that Krishna operates on. Even with the gopis, no one would doubt that they're a Kinchana Gochara. And yet Krishna gives them this sense of deprivation for augmenting their love and then giving him the opportunity to taste that augmented love that comes from being deprived of him.
Yeah.
And so we can also appreciate that it is an eternal principle that Krishna operates on, is to give the devotee a sense of deprivation.
Yeah.
Even when he's already properly situated, like Bharat Maharaj is properly situated, Tritiketu was also properly situated, except Krishna made them take birth as a deer and a demon, respectively, just to give them that sense of deprivation, so that in that internal emotional content of being deprived, that their love for Krishna will soar to greater heights. So we can also just appreciate that as part of Krishna's personality, is to create a situation where we feel deprived, in order for our love to really soar to higher and higher heights. And that way, when it happens to us, knowing this to be Krishna's nature, we don't feel so disturbed, but rather feel grateful. There's such a statement like that is there from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta also.
So deprivation of Krishna's love?
Yeah.
Dissatisfaction with the service. That how to increase our service.
Giving us a sense of being deprived helps us to... As it is said commonly, separation makes the heart grow fonder. As such, so Krishna kind of seems to operate on this principle eternally, even if you are perfectly situated.
This is a perfect point. But Prabhu, how were the initial stages? Because at initial stages, we don't have that feeling of deprivation.
Well, Krishna helps us out. And that's kind of the point, I think, from the verse that you quoted, yes, yaham, anugrinam, etc.
So he take, yeah.
So Krishna, for those of us who feel pretty nice, pretty good, you know, and Krishna's like, this is nice, and let me, you know, he helps out. And in other words, it's an exchange of love ultimately happening. Although perhaps in the immature stages, we may not appreciate that as much as we do as when we mature. And we see how Krishna's, as Prabhupada says in chapter 6 of the Bhagavatam, first canto, this is how Krishna drags the sincere soul back home, back to Godhead. You know, when Narada Muni's mother dies,
yeah,
and then Narada Muni expresses that he saw this as Krishna's mercy. And Prabhupada comments in this way, this is how the Lord drags the sincere soul back home, back to Godhead. And I always get an image of a child being dragged out of like the candy store or something, like kicking and screaming. So in the beginning, it might feel like that. But then as we come to appreciate Krishna's personality, you know, sometimes we have a problem appreciating one another's personality, various, what we might consider to be defects or affectations that we don't like and so on. And so we might judge each other for that. But then as we come to appreciate each other's personalities, we also start to like the idiosyncrasies and the various affectations and so on. So similarly, if we come to know that this is part of Krishna's personality, and we start to appreciate that aspect of his personhood, that he does this with his devotees in order to create that sense of deprivation and augment our appreciation of him, etc. like that. It's just part of his personality. That's part of the person that we've chosen to try to connect ourselves with. And so if we can accept his personality, then there won't really be any issue, you know, as such, at least internally. Although externally we might be a little bit frustrated every now and again.
So this process,
I'm just adding to the discussion, adding another element.
So this process is a gradual process, right? Initially we have to stick to the process. No matter if nothing is coming, stick to the process, right, Prabhu, if I'm not wrong?
Yeah, this is
okay. So initial answer is stick to the process.
Thank you for that class.
Thank you.
Adding on to Jaya's point, I heard of from my spiritual master that sometimes it's kind of like the situation where a child's being thrown up into the air by the father, you know, and it looks kind of ridiculous that the father's doing that to the child from afar. But for the child's enjoying, even though they're in perhaps a dangerous momentary situation where they're flying in the air. But the child always knows, has this internal understanding that, my father's going to catch me. So he's laughing and enjoying while other people are like, oh my God, please don't throw the child up like that, you know? And so it's kind of like that with the devotee. Even though there might be some deprivation, some kind of scary situation, the pure devotee who has that vision is experiencing kind of that joyous love, that exchange, exactly what you're talking about, that intimate exchange that's going on, where you know it's Krishna is personally there doing that to you, and you can enjoy it in that way because you know Krishna is right there. Mm-hmm. But I actually had a separate question. Yeah. That's just something I thought about. You were speaking to Terence Prabhu, and you mentioned, you know, following blindly. And it made me think of the purport in chapter 4, text 34, you know, very famous verse. And, you know, Prabhupada says, we don't follow blindly, you know, we don't do that. But we don't also ask, like, nonsensical questions. Yeah. Or, you know, just question just to be critical or, but to be sincere in our inquiries. And Krishna says so many times in the Bhagavad Gita, we have to engage our intelligence, our understanding. We have to understand what we're doing. He says doing it with knowledge is better, you know, not just doing it because it's a ritual or, you know, just because, you know, that's what everybody else is doing. That's not what Krishna says, at least.
Yeah,
from what I've read.
You're right.
So I was just curious.
No, you're right. Inquiry should be there. Arjuna inquired from Krishna. Shishyastha am swadhi mam tam prapannam. I'm foolish. I'm ignorant. Give me instruction. So instruction should be there, cross-questioning should be there. If you don't understand, you should cross-question. But when spiritual master gave you some instruction, that my dear son, do this, then we have to follow that blindly. Question should be that, why, master, I'm not understanding the situation. Can you just please clarify? With a humble attitude, shishyatva am swadhi mam tam prapannam. I am foolish, spiritual master, I'm ignorant, I'm having my own plans, I'm having my old whimsical things. So, Maharaj, please, can you tell me what do I do? And then Maharaj, looking at your humble attitude, he will guide you. If you say that, Maharaj, sorry, this is something I don't want to do and I am this, okay, then do this. He is so humble that, okay, do this now. But if you are ready to accept that instruction, he will guide you. And if you follow the first instruction which is given to you, honestly, it will appear like it will be painful, but next it will feel like very pleasurable. So inquiry should be there, but instruction should be followed blindly then.
What about the spiritual masters who fell down?
Fall down?
Yeah, in ISKCON. Like, do we just continue to
this is not our you're right. This is not our position to describe about the spiritual master falling down, because we are not at that level to understand how spiritual master fall down. Sorry, I'm not opposing you, but yes, Prabhu, please go on.
Is actually because Arjuna's surrender in the beginning wasn't exactly blind. He says Prapadnam, I'm surrendered to, which also means like a word, I'm ready to move forward. Mm. But then he expressed so many doubts to Krishna afterwards, so it wasn't exactly blind following.
No.
But then at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna asked him, has all your doubts been removed and so on, he says yes, and then he says, now I'm prepared to do whatever you want. So there's a reconciliation of both ideas, you know, and on the one hand there's like the process, and then on the other hand there's the attainment of the goal of the process. So if you hear it from the perspective of one who's actually attained that firm faith in a spiritual master, then their following may be considered blind from a certain perspective, because they have that profound faith in their spiritual master. So whatever the spiritual master says, I don't care what is the meaning and so on, I'm just going to follow it. But that's after the attainment of the goal, in a sense, the goal of actually firm conviction that my spiritual master is fully representing Krishna, etc. But then before that, before actual attainment of such conviction, then there's a process we have to go. We put forward proper questions, inquiries, we reveal our doubts, we seek clarification, we want to make sure we have proper concepts, that we're moving on firm spiritual conceptions and so on. So I think both ideas can be reconciled in terms of tattva and bhava. You know, there's tattva, there's like the philosophy, and then behind the tattva there's the spirit of it, the mood. And when persons have bhava, some of the things they do seem really radical, being influenced by such bhava. But when we're lacking such dedication, then we have to use our head in order to culture the heart. And that way I think both ideas they both exist, and I think it can be reconciled in this particular sort of way.
Okay, for sure. Yep. Thank you. And the responsible father, you guys, is throwing his child. There is an analogy given in Bhagavatam that Krishna is like a responsible father who is a... When father is responsible, he avoids the children from playing and drag him to the school. So Krishna, by merciful being strict, is dragging them to the proper position. Srimad Bhagavatam ki... Shri Prabhupada ki jai.